All right, then we'll say good morning. The beautiful daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Kuf Lamed Gimel 133. And we are picking up Emir Tzan Shem at Rava Amar on 132b, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 lines up from the bottom. Our shiur this morning, we thank our weekly sponsor, Mrs. Selma Wolf, for dedicating all of the shiurim this week in the Zchus of Rafua Shalema for her daughter, Naomi Bas Sarah. We hope that in the merit of our time with Torah, she together with Kol Chol Yisrael have a complete and enduring refuah. And I both say, with that, let us begin. Really incredible daf. So we're still continuing on our whole discussion about Mila Docha Shabbos, Mila Shalom Bismana Docha Shabbos, Mila Docha Tzaras. So continuing on the same theme. So Rabbi Amar kind of left off in the middle of this yesterday. Rabbi Amar. Mila bizmana docha Shabbos. Mila bizmana docha lo tzricha kra. So we'll say, in fact, Rava says that a mila bizmana sets aside the prohibition of tzaras. Remember again, one of the things we've been dealing with is this idea that there's a pasuk that says hishamer benega tzaras. Be careful with tzaras. What do you mean? Be careful with tzaras. You can't cut off your tzaras. So Rava is saying over here, one of the things that we learned was the notion that mila is docha tzaras, which means that if I have tzaras on the makom mila, so lemais again, even though by giving the bris I'm going to remove the tzaras, I'm still allowed to do so. So Rava says it doesn't even need a pasuk. Mikal v'chomer asu, you can learn from Mikal v'chomer, umar Shabbos dechamira docha tzaras l'kol shekein. If mila is docha Shabbos and Shabbos is chomer, so if mila is docha Shabbos, it's certainly docha tzaras. How do you know that Shabbos is more chamer than tzaras? Maybe tzaras is more chamer. After all, why? Shekein doches havoda. Because remember, we're going to both say tzaras is doch havoda, va'avoda doches haShabbos, and avoda is doch haShabbos. To which we said, no. Hasom la mishum de chamira tzaras. They both say the fact it's not really that tzaras is doch haShabbos, that doch havoda. Rather, what's happening over here? Ela mishum de gavruhu de lo chazi. Because we also remember again, the reason, see, it's not that tzaras is doch avoda, it's just that a kohen with tzaras is a balmum. And a kohen who is a balmum, who is blemished, may not do the avoda. So you don't necessarily know that tzaras is more chumrus, so to speak, than Shabbat, than avoda. I, the yakutz barasa v'yavod. So, but why not just have the kohen cut off his tzaras and let him go ahead and do the avoda? To which the Gemara says, "Mochus Ratzvilahu," because at the end of the day, he still needs to go to the mikvah. So Teinach b'negoyim t'meim negoyim tor ma'ikel meimar. So that's true. Rabbi say, if what? If the kohen has a nega, has a tzaras that's tamei, but if he has tzaras that is tahor, what is it? Rabbi Abba say, now this is actually quite fascinating. What the Gemara is saying is like this. Remember, there are different forms of. It's, well, let me say it differently. There are different types of lesions. The Gemara is calling every lesion tzaras. But lamaisa, there are some types of lesions that are problematic, and there are other types of lesions which are not. So what the Gemara is saying is something very interesting. If he happens to have a tahar lesion, why can't the Kohen just go ahead and do the avoda like that? To which the Gemara is saying, because a Kohen with any type of lesion is considered to be a bal mum. This is very interesting. So if a kohen has a lesion, that's a non-saras lesion, but a lesion nevertheless, halach lamai say he can't do the avoda because he's a bal mum. To which the Gemara says, Elo amar Ravashi, heicha darminan ase docha lo sase. I'm sorry, heicha darminan da ase ase vedochi lo sase. So we'll say, what the Gemara is suggesting is as follows. Shouldn't a kohen be able to cut off his tzaras in order to go ahead and do the avoda? After all, again, let the asay, the positive commandment of avoda, set aside the losa asay of tzara'as removal, and let the kohen cut off his lesion if he wants to and do the avoda. So Rabbi said, "Twish, the Gemara is a very yisodistic idea. When do we say hecha aminan da asay asay v'dachi losa asay? When do we say that an asay, a positive commandment, sets aside a prohibition? Here we go. Kigon mila betzara'as ina mitzitzis kilayim." We'll say the example would be, let's say, removing tzaras with bris mila, or making tzitzis out of shatnez. De ba'ina de misakir lav kamoki ase. Hacha ba'ina de misakir lav lo kamokim ase. Rabbi says it's a very important yisod. When do we say ase docha lo sase, that a positive commandment can set aside a prohibition? Only when there's simultaneity. Everything is happening at the same time. The ase and the losaseh are occurring at the same time. So, for example, I'll say bris milah is a perfect example of this. A baby has tzara'as on the arla, on the foreskin. So now I have a problem. I have an aseh of milah, a losaseh of not removing tzara'as. So what do I say? The positive commandment of milah overrides the losaseh of tzara'as removal. And why can that do that? Because they're happening at the same time. You are allowed to make tzitzis out of shatnez. Why? Because the assay of tzitzis is doche the los assay of shatnez. Why? Because at the moment that you fulfill the assay of tzitzis, that you're tying the strings onto the baguette, that's the very moment ultimately that you're in violation of shatnez. I will say that's different than the Kohen case. You want the Kohen to cut off his lesion, his saras, to do the avodah. What's the problem? At the moment he cuts off the lesion, that's the los assay. But the asiyah of avoda doesn't come until later on. I will say a very important yisod. Although we accept the principle of asay doche lo sasay, that's only when there's simultaneity. To which the Gemara says, v'hadirava v'rav safra tanoihi. This kinds of Rava, these statements of Rava Safra are machlokes tanoim, to which the Gemara says, desanya basar v'afa pishi yesham baheres yimal divra b'yoshia. So we'll say, the Pasuk says Basar, and Basar I learned from, you could circumcise the child even if there is Saras on the Arla. That's Rabbi Yoshi. Rabbi Yonasan Omer, Eino Tzarech, Shabbos Chamura Doche Saras Lo Kol Shekein. So ultimately again, Shabbos Chamura Doche Saras Lo Kol Shekein. Obviously you don't even need the Drasha. He says ultimately again, if Mila has the ability to set aside Shabbos, which is Chamur, it certainly has the ability to set aside tzaras, which is not chamer. So we'll say, as we already said yesterday, so lemaisa again, so everyone's agreeing that halacha lemaisa, amila bismana is docha Shabbos. That's number one, what everybody agrees on. Number two, everyone is also agreeing that mila is docha tzaras. We're only just the machlokes about where we learn everything out from. Beautiful. Weiter. Amar basar. So as we're just quoting again, Rabbi Yoshia said, the fact that the Pasuk says basar, flesh, that teaches me that halacha lemaisa, even if there is tzaras on the makom mila, on the arla, you still do the mila. I halam alikra. Why do I need a Pasuk? Davar she'in miskavinu. But we'll say, again, this is davar she'in miskavin. Or in this case, my intention is not to remove the tzaras. What's my intention? It's my intention to give her bris milah. So if the davar she'in lo miskavin, then why do I need a pasuk at all? Amar Abaye lo nitzucha ela l'Rabbi Yehuda. Rather, I will say this only is necessary for Rabbi Yehuda. What does Rabbi Yehuda say? Amar davar she'in miskavin aser. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that a davar she'in miskavin is aser. Rava Amar afilu tim Rabbi Shimon. It could even be necessary for Rabbi Shimon. Why? Mod Rabbi Shimon b'sikreisha v'lo yamos. Because Rabbi say this isn't just a davar she'in miskavin. Right? This isn't just, remember, we'll say davar she'in miskavin means you do something without, and it has like an unintentional byproduct. This is not a davar she'in miskavin, Rabbi say. This is what we call a psikresha. Psikresha means when you do something that has a definitive secondary result. So we'll say, in this case over here, so like, remember, the paradigmatic case of davar she'in miskavin is, I do action A, and A may or may not result in B. But even if it does result in B, it's not really what I want. We'll say, right, what's the classic example? On Shabbos, I'm sitting in my backyard, I want to move a chair from point A to point B. The chair is too heavy to carry, so I'm going to drag it. When I drag it, it may make a furrow. Making a furrow on Shabbos is problematic. So again, if you hold, like Rabbi Yehuda, davar she'in miskavin is mutter. So sorry, Rabbi Shimon, davar she'in miskavin is mutter. So lemaisa, again, I say, okay, that's not my intention. My intention is to get the chair from point A to point B. And even if a furrow does happen, it's not my intention. I will say, a psikresha means, it's not that it may happen, it will happen. And it appears that more people agree, or everyone agrees, that a psikresha is going to be answered. So when you do a bris milah, and there is tzara'as on the makom milah, that's not a davar she'in miskavin. That's a psikresha. So you say, va'abai lesle ha'isvar. Does Abai not agree to this? Va'abai v'rav demer tarvayu. Movdir b'shim b'psikresha v'lo yamos. Right, the Rabbi Shimon agrees that halacha lemaisa psikresha is going to be aser. To which the Gemara says, "You're right, Basr Deshame Mirabasvara. You're right, Inachinami Abaye changed his position after he heard this statement from Rabba." So therefore, I just want to be clear: the result is the same. You can do a mila even when there is saras on the foreskin, on the orla. The difference just is, whereas we thought that at first you could go ahead and learn it out from a Kal v'chomer, or that as a davar shenu miskavim, kamashma, no, I actually need a pasuk. And the pasuk is basar. You could remove that flesh no matter what. It doesn't make a difference what's on it, what's not on it. You could remove it. Others have this conversation about Rava in a different context. Hishar ben agataras, lishmar va'od v'lasos. Shabbos says, so the pasuk says, you shall be careful, right? You shall be careful. Yishan ben agat tzaras, lishmar ma'od v'lasos. Be careful with the tzaras lesion, lishmar ma'od, to guard it carefully and to do. La'asos yata osis. Well, so listen to this. You cannot do anything actively to remove tzaras from your body. Listen to this. Aval ose ato besif shal al gabi raglo, or bimot shal gabi ksefo. Bim avra avra. So we'll say this is fascinating. But what can you do? Let's say I have tzaras on my foot. So we'll say, so what's the issue? If I put on my sandal, I put on my shoe, so it's possible that the straps are going to rub against the tzaras lesion and may remove the lesion. Or for that matter, if I'm working in the field, right, and I need to transport my farming utensils, I could put, or the staff, I could put it on, let's say the tzaras is on my shoulder, and I put it on my shoulder, so that it could rub against my shoulder and remove the tzaras lesion. So Rabbi says, this is very interesting. So the Gemara says, you can't do anything to actively remove tzaras from your body. But, if in the course of normal daily activities, you do something that can remove the tzaras from your body, you are not obligated to not engage. You're not obligated to not engage in that activity of daily living because it may lead to the removal of tzaras. So again, for example, I have tzaras on my foot. If I put on my shoe, it could be the shoe will rub against the tzaras and remove the tzaras. I might think, okay, you can't wear shoes. You can't wear shoes. After all, again, that may remove the tzaras. No, I could wear the shoes because that's an activity of daily living. If the tzaras comes off, the tzaras comes off. So the Gemara says, "Hal lamali cross." So why do I need a pasuk to teach me that? Davar shein it miskavinu. Of course, I got to put on my shoe because also remember again, what's my intention when I put on my shoe? What's my intention to put on my shoe? So the mice again, even if incidentally the tzaras comes off, that's not my kavon. It's davar shein it miskavin. But davar shein it miskavin mutar. Amr Abaye lo nitzricha el Rabbi Huda davar shein it miskavin aser. So Abaye says, no, because there is a position of Rabbi Huda. Even Rabbi Huda holds that a davar shein it miskavin is aser would agree based on the pasuk that you could put your shoe on. But Rava Amr afilu tamer Rabbi Shimon. It could even be Rabbi Shimon. Why? Because umod Rabbi Shimon b'sikrei shavalo yamos. Because I will say, remember again, it could very well be if this is a case of psikrei shav, then enoch inami, that may be different. In other words, both say, there's a difference between saying, if I put on my shoe, the tzaras may come off, and if I put on my shoe, the tzaras will come off. If the tzaras will come off, this is no longer a davar shein it miskavin, but rather, again, this is a psik reisha. Va'abaye les lehai svar, does Abaye not hold that even Rabbi Shimon agrees that psik reisha will be aser? V'habaye v'rava darmi tarvai, who mod Rabbi Shimon psik reisha v'lo yamos. But yet Abaye and Rava both said that Rabbi Shimon agrees that where there is a psik reisha, it will be aser. To which the Gemara says, Lebasar deshame me Rava. Enoch inami, Abaye changed his position, but only after he heard from Rava. Good. So we'll say, Good. So we'll say, so this just happens to be very interesting that this is indeed the halacha. But just by tzaras, Rambam codifies this lahalacha, which is this interesting notion that although there is a biblical prohibition to do anything to remove a tzaras lesion from your body, you're not allowed to do that. But again, if in the course of the performance of your normal daily, you're not obligated to cease and desist from engaging in your normative daily activities of life, even if they may result in the removal of a tzaras lesion. It's really quite fascinating. So again, I don't have to not put on my shoes if putting on my shoes is going to go ahead and remove the tzaras lesion. It's really quite fascinating. According to Rabbi Shimon, what does he do with the phrase baser by Mila? So the Gemara says, Amralei, Rav Amram, ba'omer lakutz be'erasahu miskavim. What's the case? Well, it's actually incredible. What happens? He uses the lashon of basar for the following case. Let's say an individual is uncircumcised, and it happens to be that he has tzaras on his makomila, and he tells them all, I want you to give me a bris milah because I want you to remove the tzaras. So he says it. He doesn't even have it. I just want to get rid of it. I have been uncircumcised for who knows how long. I've finally decided I'm going to get a bris milah, but not because I want the bris milah, because I want the tzaras off my body. Halacha l'maisa, you can do the milah. Because what does the pasuk say? Basar. And Basar says you could remove the foreskin no matter what is on it. To which the Gemara says, that's fine. Teinuch gadol. So that's an interesting case with an adult, an uncircumcised adult. However, says the Gemara, teinuch gadol, katan ma'ikal mimar. But I will say again, what does Basar teach me in the context of a baby, of a child? So also listen to this. What's the case? What does Basar teach me? Let's say there's a baby. And the baby Ethel about to have the milah. The father's in. The father says to them all, you know what, me? I don't care about bris milah. I'm happy for this kid. Let him decide on his own when he gets older what he wants to be. But I want you to remove the foreskin because I want the tzaras off my kid's body. See, even if the father explicitly says that his kavana for the bris is not the bris, but his kavana for the bris is what? For the removal of tzaras, halacha l'maisa, you're still allowed to do the milah. It's pretty incredible. V'i ka'acher le'avadacher. So it's actually very interesting. However, if there is someone other than the father to kind of be there, it's better to get someone other than the father. And as well say, as much as you can still do the bris, even if it's the father's clear intention that he's doing this bris, not because he cares about the mitzvah, but because he wants the tzara'as off his kid's body, you can still do the mitzvah, you can still go ahead and do the bris milah, but better to kind of remove the father from the picture during the bris. Look at Rashi. V'i'i ka'acher, she'na choshesh letaro, le'ovid acher, v'lo leku av lahasam. So we'll say, so again, interestingly enough, Rashi, the Gemara says, but better to remove the father. Maybe don't have the father present by the bris milah. Otherwise, you could do the bris, even though it's the explicit intention of the father to remove the tzaras, not even to remove the arla, but to remove the tzaras. Probably better not to have the father there. Interesting. The Gemara says, "Adam Rab Shimon and Lakish Komakom Shata Motzi Asay Velo Asay." Because what's Yesh Lakish says, any time that you find an Asay and a Lo Asay, Im Ata Yachal Kayim Shnehem Mutav. If you have the ability to maintain both the Asay and the Lo Asay, the positive commandment and the prohibition, that is best. Ve'im Lav Yavo Asay V'Yitcha Lo Asay. So ultimately, again, but Lamaisa. If not, an asay is dochelos asay, to which the Gemara says, Enochinami deleka acher, where there is no one other than the father. So Rabbo say, so this is actually very interesting. What the Gemara says as follows. So let's say the father is going to circumcise his son, because after all, again, the mitzvah of nidah is on the father. It's before the child reaches bar mitzvah. So the child is going to circumcise his son. And he picks up the knife, and he says, Hinni muchan umazuman, to remove tzara'as from my child's body. So I'll say, if he does that, okay, it's not good, but la maisa, you can still do the bris milah under those circumstances. The Gemara just says, because we know that his kavana is to remove the tzaras, la maisa, if you could get someone else to do the milah, that would be highly preferable. But if you can't, such a milah is still unequivocally permitted. Good. Amar mar. Yom tevena docha, ela bizmana bilvat. So also remember again, we said before, that a milah, when we say milah is docha Shabbos, milah is docha yomtiv, that's only a milah bizmana, an eighth day bris, right? But again, lamaisa, if the bris has been delayed for some reason, then halacha lamaisa, that type of milah is not docha Shabbos, not docha yomtiv. So minahani mili, from where do I know this? Amar chizkia, v'chintana de bechizkia, amar kra, lo sosiru mimenu ad boker. So we'll listen to this. We learned it out, interestingly enough, from Karban Pesach. Shein Tamud Lomar, ad boker. Ma Tamud Lomar ad boker. Ba kosov li tein lo boker shein ilisrei faso. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the drasha over here is that any leftover Karban Pesach you have to burn. But when do you burn it? You burn it ultimately, again, not on the first day yomtiv, right? Not on the first morning, but rather, again, you burn it on the second morning, which is really the second day of yomtiv. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? Look at Rashi for just a moment. So Rashi says over here, if you look at the end, it's Rashi Divrei HaMaskil, Shein Talmud Lomer Ad Boker. So the Gemara says, if you look at the end of that Rashi, Ela Boker Sheini, Shucholo Shamoy Tisrafenu, Aval B'yom Tov Lo Alma, Midi D'chol Lo Avdinan B'yom Tov. So we'll say, what you see from here is as follows, that Lamaisa, we don't burn the Karban Pesach, we don't burn the leftovers on Yom Tov itself. Why? Because again, Karban Pesach is saying that was shechted during the week. It's called the Midi D'chol. So you see, a Midi D'chol, you don't go ahead and do on Yom Tov. There was an, interestingly enough, a Bris Milah, once you're past the eighth day, that doesn't have to be done on Yom Tov. Therefore, again, it's not called something related to Yom Tov or something related to Shabbos. Rather, it's called Midi D'chol. Once it's called Midi D'chol, a weekday activity, it's not Doche Shabbos, not Doche Yom Tov. Abaye says, Amar Kra, Olas Shabbos b'Shabboso, v'lo Olas Chol b'Shabbos, v'lo Olas Chol b'Yom Tov. You can offer up a Shabbos carbon on Shabbos, but not a weekday carbon on Shabbos, and not a weekday carbon on Yom Tov. Same idea, Bosai. Namely, that once you're past the eighth day, that Mila does not have to be done. Or as Bosai, which logic would dictate? The only type of bris that is Doche Shabbos or Doche Yom Tov is an eighth day bris, because the Torah commands that it be done on the eighth day. Once you're past the eighth day, there's nothing imperative about doing the Mila more on Shabbos than on a Tuesday. And once there's no imperative to do it more on Shabbos or Yom Tov than on a Tuesday, it's not Doche Shabbos, not Doche Yom Tov. Rava Amar Kra, Hu Levado Yaseh Lachem. The Pasuk by Yom Tov says, Hu Levado, this is talking about Ochel Nefesh. It is only Ochel Nefesh that you are permitted to do on Yom Tov. Hu V'lo Machshirav. Hu V'lo Machshirin. What that teaches me that Ochel Nefesh only allows for the actual performance of Ochel Nefesh. You can't do Machshirin on Yom Tov. So we'll say, so preparatory acts. So let's say again, I have to go ahead and I want to cook a meal on Yom Tov. I could cook a meal on Yom Tov. But I forgot to chop wood for my stove. I can't chop wood on Yom Tov. That's Machshirin. Livado, only this, v'lo mila shelo bizmano. And you can't go ahead and do a mila shelo bizmano on Yom Tov. The asim ekav chomer. Ultimately, because I can learn this out from a kav chomer. Ravashi Yomer. So we'll say again, Rashi points out that the kav chomer is not necessary for our purposes. Now, Ravashi Yomer, Shabbason asehu. V'havi le Yom Tov aseh v'lo saseh. V'in aseh doche lo saseh v'aseh. Ravashi says that Yom Tov, Ravosei, is an aseh and a lo saseh. Bris Mila is an aseh. And as much as we say that aseh doche lo saseh, but aseh, one positive commandment cannot set aside another item that has both a positive commandment and a prohibition. Good. But say, bottom line, everyone's in agreement that Mila Shelo Bizmano, a non-eighth day Mila, is not Doche Shabbos, not Doche Yom Tov. Klal Om Rabbi Akiva. So we'll say Rabbi Akiva. Remember, Rabbi Akiva disagreed in the Mishnah, and Rabbi Akiva held in the Mishnah that what? Well, it's Lashon. His Lashon was Klal Om Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said, in general, when it comes to Mila, anything which can be done on Erev Shabbos is not Doche Shabbos. Only those things which cannot be done on Erev Shabbos may be done on Shabbos itself. So Rabbi Akiva obviously saying, the only thing you could really do on Shabbos is what? The actual circumcision itself. But everything else, which is a preparatory act, must be done prior to Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Halacha k'Rabbi Akiva. The Halacha follows Rabbi Akiva, that Mila is mutter on Shabbos, Machshire Mila are not mutter on Shabbos. Utnan nami gabi Pesach, ki agavna. And also we saw the same thing by Karban Pesach. What do we see by Karban Pesach? The Gemara says, Klal Amar Rabbi Akiva, Komalacha she'ef shalala la'asosam me'erev Shabbos, ino doches ha'Shabbos. We'll say, again, let's say you have a situation where Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. So you have to shech the Karban Pesach then on Erev Pesach, which is Shabbos. But anything that you could have done on Friday, you may not do on Shabbos. However, Shechita, she'ef shalala la'asosam me'erev Shabbos, and for example, Shechita itself, which could not have been done on Erev Shabbos, we'll say, obviously, because remember, the Karban Pesach has to be shechted on Erev Pesach. You can't shecht, that's the 14th of Nisan. You can't shecht it on the 13th of Nisan, which would have been Friday. So again, but you could have sharpened the knife, or you could have brought the knife. So therefore again, the Gemara says, anything which could have been done on Erev Shabbos must be done on Erev Shabbos. Only the things which cannot be done on Erev Shabbos Shabbos may be done on Shabbos itself. So Shechita, you could check the Korban Pesach, ultimately again on Shabbos. Shechita, good. Tov Shabbos. V'om Rav Yehuda, Am Rav, Halacha K'Rabbi Akiva. Rav Yehuda again says like Rav, that the Halacha was Rabbi Akiva. So both say, so we have two different situations, both Mila and Korban Pesach, where Rabbi Akiva espouses his Shechita, namely, that you could perform the Ikar Mitzvah, but the Machshirin must be done prior to Shabbos. So now we have him on record by Mila, we have him on record by Korban Pesach. Now the truth is, why don't both these cases? Meaning at the end of the day, it's the same concept. Namely, Rabbi Akiva holds, Machshirin cannot be done on Shabbos. Machshirin cannot be done on Shabbos. The mitzvah itself can be that you can shat the Korban Pesach on Shabbos. You can do Bris Mila on Shabbos, but you may not do Machshire Mila on Shabbos. You may not do Machshire Korban Pesach on Shabbos. We'll say it's the same concept. Why do I need both cases? It's a tzricha. I'll tell you why. I need both. The Yashmo Inan Gabi Mila, Hasan Hu de Machshire, and Efshar Lazos Me Esmol, Lo Dachu Shabbos, the Lek Akari. So we'll say, I understand by Mila, where Rabbi Akiva would hold that Machshire Mila cannot be done on Shabbos. They must be done on Shabbos itself. Why? Because we'll say again, Mila is not that chummer. In that what? What happens if there's no bris mila, Rabbi Osai? So there's no bris mila, you've missed out on a mitzvah saseh, but there's no din of kares. Now again, if a man becomes an adult and he's uncircumcised, then there's a chi of kares that devolves upon him. But if you don't circumcise an 8-day-old baby, okay, so the father is not performing a mitzvah, that's upon him. But lamaisa, there's no real severity attached to that. That's when I would say you can't do machshirin on Shabbos. Ava Pesach, de'ika kares imalit chashabbos. I would say, but Korban Pesach, which is, if you don't perform Pesach, there is an Isser Kares. I am going to thought that because it's so chomer, you can go ahead and do the Machshirin on Shabbos. Therefore, again, Rabbi Akiva says you can't do Machshirin on Shabbos by Pesach either. V'yashmo, you know, Kaveh Pesach. And if Rabbi Akiva would have just taught that you can't do Machshirin on Shabbos by Korban Pesach, Mishum delo nichrasu alei yud gimel brisos, because Lamaisa, Pesach doesn't have 13 covenants like Bris Mila has. Avamila de nichrasu alei giyur gimel brisos emol litchu. But again, emol litchu Shabbos. But Bris Mila, which is so incredible that it has 13 covenants surrounding it, I might have thought that even Machshirei Mila are docha Shabbos. Therefore, tzuicha. Therefore, nibol. So Rabbi say, bottom line, halacha lemaisa. In the machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Eliezer will allow Machshirei Mila on Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva does not. We paskin halacha lemaisa like Rabbi Akiva. So we paskin that Mila Bizmana is Doche Shabbos. Mila Bizmana is Doche Yom Tiv. Mila is Doche Tzaras. And that's true. Mila Bizmana, Mila Shalom Bizmana is Doche Tzaras. But halacha lemaisa is only the Mila itself, which is Doche Shabbos. But Machshirei Mila are not Doche Shabbos. So for example, if the mall realizes, oh my gosh, I have no knife, he would not be permitted to go and start forging and creating a new knife for the sake of performing Mila on Shabbos, because that's Machshirei Mila. The Mila's Doche, Machshirei are not. Beautiful. We'll say continuing on Bris Mila. Mishnah says, Osin kol tzarchei Mila b'Shabbos. You can do everything necessary for Mila on Shabbos. So we'll say, we're going to see exactly what the Gemara is trying to convey with this, but you could perform all the different aspects of Mila on Shabbos. For example, Moalin, we can circumcise. Porin, Nebosa will discuss this. Priya means as follows. After you cut the foreskin, you have to peel it back. That's called Priya, right? That's called Priya. So you peel it back, and that's what reveals the corona, the top of the gid. Motzitzin, Nebosa, this is actually really quite interesting. So Motzitzin, Mitzitza. So we'll say this means the drawing out of blood. Again, what we'll see, Rashi says over here, Motzitzin es hadam, va'af agav diasiyas chabura, she'in hadam nitak mechibura el adem mitzitza. So we'll say, so this is causing the aver, right, causing the makom mila to bleed. See, interestingly enough, the mo has an obligation, part of the mila is actively drawing out the blood. And even though, again, This causes additional quote unquote wounding because you're extracting blood. That's part of the mitzvah of Mila. V'nosin ala ispalanis, and again, you could go ahead and put on it. And we'll say ispalanis means a bandage, right? So you could put a bandage on the Mila on Shabbos, the kimon. It's actually very interesting. Apparently, what they used to use as like an ointment for the Mila was cumin. It's very interesting. So they would put cumin. They would put cumin on a bandage, and then they would wrap. They would wrap the makomila. Very interesting. Im lo shachak
me'erev Shabbos.
If you now, obviously, we're talking about ground cumin. What happens if you didn't grind the cumin on erev before Shabbos? Lois b'shina v'nosin. Ultimately, and I will say, so there, you can't grind it on Shabbos, because remember, again, grinding is a malacha, and again, that's makshir emila, you can't do that on Shabbos. What you can do is chew up the cumin in your mouth, and then kind of like take that and put it on the bandage. The Gemara says, im lo taraf yayin v'shem erev Shabbos, yinosin zeba atzmo v'zeba atzmo. Interestingly enough, something else that they would do is they would take wine and oil, and they would go ahead and kind of whip it up together. They would mix it and apply that also to the affected area. If you did not make that mixture on Shabbos, so the Mishnah says, see the problem of taking wine and oil and whipping it up together, it appears that the Mishnah is saying it has the appearance of cooking. So because it has the appearance of cooking, rabbinically you're not allowed to do it. So therefore, you really should prepare this mixture on Erev Shabbos. If you didn't prepare it on Erev Shabbos, all you need to do is you just can't make it the same way. So you pour in the wine first, you mix it up. You pour in the oil first, and you mix it up. But you can't really mix them together. So the Gemara says, "Ve'ein osin l'chaluk l'chatchila." You can't make chaluk. Now, I'll say chaluk in this case, we're going to see means. Rashi says, "Ke'ein kis dachuk hayosin." So we'll say, you can see this, they still do this by Mila today, which is after the Mila is done, there's a bandage that's wrapped around underneath the tip, underneath the top of the Aver, to prevent the foreskin from coming back up. So we'll say, they call this a chaluk. So they used to have, literally chaluk means like a garment. So what they would do is they would slide it over the makomila to prevent the foreskin from coming up. So you can't go ahead and create this chaluk on Shabbos. Aval korich alav smirtut. But if you don't have the chaluk, you could just bandage it. Imlo hiskin me'erev Shabbos, korich alav zbo, movi afilu mechatzar acheres. And Abbas, if you don't even have a bandage, if you didn't prepare a bandage from before Yom Tov, from before Shabbos, what can you do? You could wrap it around your finger and just bring it out like that. So wrap it around your finger and transport that. So it was like you do need some type of bandage for the baby. That's a necessity. So although ideally that's machshirin, and you're supposed to prepare that before Shabbos, if for some reason the mole did not bring it with him, what he can do is, as he's traveling, he could wrap that bandage around his finger and essentially transport it like that. Good. So we'll say, let's analyze a bit more. So it says the Gemara, Amud Beis, says the Gemara, Michti. Katani kulu kol tzarchi mila la suyei mai. So I'll say, the Mishnah said, you're allowed to do kol tzarchi mila. What does that come to include? Right? What, in other words, obviously, whenever you say you could do all the things necessary for mila, that's coming to include. Tell me what it's coming to include. La suyei hadutan rabbanon, hamal kol zman shu osik b'mila, chozer bo ala titzin hama akvin es hamila, bein ala titzin shema akvin es hamila. So I'll say, listen to this. We're going to discuss this in greater depth, but there are titzin. Both say tzitzin are little pieces of flesh. So we're going to see that there are times where, let's say the mole didn't do a totally clean job on the circumcision, and therefore there are some pieces of the arla that are left. So if there are just a few pieces of the arla that are left, that does not invalidate the mila. The only time that the mila is invalidated is if the majority of the tip of the corona, of the tip of the aver, ultimately again is covered. Only if it's covered. So at the end of the day, that's what it means when it says tzitzin hama'akvin. If there are tzitzin, literally means like pieces. If there are pieces of the foreskin that invalidate the mila. So watch this. And now let's read this again. So the Gemara says, as long as you're actively engaged in bris mila, you can go back and you could clean up the mila as much as you want. In other words, whether that is tzitzin hama'akvin or tzitzin she'inan ma'akvin, piresh. But once the mo'al is done, literally, again, he's removed his hand. Then al tzitzin hama'akvin es hamila chozer, he can go back and clean up any of the tzitzin which would invalidate the mila. However, al tzitzin she'in ma'akvin es hamila ein chozer. But ultimately, again, for tzitzin, for pieces of foreskin that are not ma'akiv, that really don't go ahead and invalidate the mila, that you can't go. As well, say it's actually very interesting. So essentially, as long as the mo'al is actively engaged in the mila, he could clean up whatever he wants, even if it's not necessary for the mitzvah. Once he finishes, He can go back if he realizes that there's something that negates the effectiveness of the milah. But if there's something that's there that doesn't negate the effectiveness of the milah, he can't go back. Once you're done, this is talking about Shabbos, once you're done, you can only go back for stuff that's absolutely necessary. But for things, I guess, that'd be more cosmetic, I guess, you can't go back. So the Gemara says, Man Tana Pirish in a Chozer. Who is the Tana that says, once the moel finished, he can't go back for things. He can't go back for tzitzin that are not ma'akvin. So Amara Barachana, Amara Biochan, Rabbi Shlomo, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Rokhi. He goes to the first wide line. Bisanya, Arbasa Shechalios B'Shabbos. If the 14th of Nisan, Erev Pesach, falls out on Shabbos, Mafshit Adam HaPesach Ada Choze. So you could go ahead and, flay your Korban Pesach up until the chest. Divrei Rabbi Yishmol b'no Shabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. These are Rabbi Shimon of Shavracham. The Chum say no mafshitin eskulo. The Chum say you can actually go ahead and flay the entire animal. So we'll say, what do you see from here? See Rabbi Shimon ben Baroka. Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka essentially says once you flay it till the chest, that allows you to remove any of the necessary internal organs for hakrava on the mizbeach. Once you do that, you've done what you need to do. So to go back now is going back and doing something that is not really necessary anymore. So you see Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka says that on Shabbos, once you remove your hand, you can only go back and do that which is necessary. But if it's unnecessary, you can't go, so too by Mila, if the Mol quote unquote finished, and then he realized, oh, there's still some tzitz in there, right? There's still some pieces of the foreskin. So again, if they are ma'akev, then he could go back. If they're not ma'akev, if he can't go back, to which the Gemara says, I don't know, it's not really a good comparison. Me, my, I've called Karim Yishua, B'no Shabbat, B'chamim Roka Hasam, Mishum Dolo Ba'in and Zeki Livan Ve'u. So I will say, maybe he only says by Karim Pesach, because by Karim Pesach, there is no din of Hidr Mitzvah. Right? You don't have to beautify the way that you shecht the animal. You just have to shecht it. Aval Hacha, I will say, it's actually quite amazing. By Bris Milah, it's actually incredible. There is a din of hidr mitzvah, beautifying the mitzvah by bris milah. Really quite fascinating. So the Gemara says, this sanya, zekili vanveyu. What it means, it says, literally translated, this is my God and I will exalt him. His not elefana b'mitzvah. It means, beautify your performance of mitzvahs in the presence of Hashem. Ase lefana of sukkah noah, make a beautiful sukkah. Lulav noah, beautiful lulav. Shofar noah, beautiful shofar. Tzitzis noah, beautiful tzitzis. Sefer Torah noah, a beautiful sefer Torah. V'kasab al lishmo, bidio noah. Go ahead and write it lishmo. Write it with nice ink. Bekomos, a nice quill. Belavlar, uman, a good sofer. Kargo, we should wrap it in silk. So we'll say, what do you see from here? It could, by there's a concept of hidr mitzvah. And hidr mitzvah means don't just do a mitzvah, but do a mitzvah in the most beautiful way possible. Bris milah is governed by the same concept of hidr mitzvah. So what does that mean? What kind of hidr mitzvah is there? Is there in bris milah? Very simple. That if the moa left over tzitzin, if there are still some pieces of foreskin that are left there, even if they're not ma'akiv, even if they do not negate the milah, there may be the concept ultimately of going back and removing them in order to quote unquote beautify the mitzvah. Such a concept like that doesn't apply in the shechita or the flaying of a Karban Pesach. Just as an aside, Abba Shaul Omer, va'anvehu. What does it mean, va'anvehu? Have a domelo. It means to resemble God, divine emulation. So we'll say, according to Abba Shaul, he understands, Zeki, this is my God, va'anvehu, and I will emulate him. How do you get emulation from anvehu? Rashi says, anvehu is a contraction. Ani vahu. I will be like my creator. Mahu rachum v'chanun. Mahu chanun v'rachum. Af ata chanun v'rachum. Just like HaKadosh Baruch was compassionate, so too you have to be compassionate. Ala amar Ravashi hamani. So whose opinion does this reflect? Rabbi Yosihi. So we'll say, Smirin, we're trying to figure out this concept that if the moel, quote unquote, finished the milah, and then he realizes that there are still some pieces of the arla that are there. So again, if those pieces are, if they negate the effectiveness of the milah, he can go back and remove them. But lamaisa, if they don't impact the effectiveness of the milah, he can't go back. So whose opinion is, does this reflect? To which the Gemara says, Amar Ravashi Hamani Rabbi Yosihi, this none. Bein shenira ba'alo, bein shelo nira ba'alo, mechalan alav asa Shabbos. So we'll say, remember again, witnesses see the new moon, they have to come to Yerushalayim, and to go ahead and give testimony that they saw the new moon. So the Mishnah says, whether the moon is clear or not clear, witnesses shall be able to say, in other words, you might have thought that Allah says, if the moon is clearly observable, there's no need for witnesses to go and start being Mechal Shabbos and traveling, because if the witnesses here could see it clearly, everyone else could see it clearly as well. So the Mishnah says, no. Even if the moon is absolutely clear, you still halacha lamaisa have to go on Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi Omer, nira ba'alil, ein mechalin avasa Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi says, no, not true. If it's clear, in other words, if the moon could be seen clearly, so therefore, just as the witnesses saw it, everyone else saw it as well, halacha lamaisa not mechalo Shabbos for that. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that Rabbi Yossi says, that halacha lamaisa, look at Rashi, Rabbi Yossi Omer, alma afagav de'ika mitzvah ke'ivan, t'lav l'tzara kavohu, lo mechalina. So we really see that according to Rabbi Yossi, even though again it's good for witnesses to go, if it's not necessary, not mechal Shabbos. So too, if the mall finished the milah, but he sees that there are still some pieces of skin there, if it's not ma'akiv, if it's not necessary, he's not permitted to do it. To which the verse says, mimai, dil ma'at kal kar Rabbi Yossi asam, dilav nitna Shabbos litchos. So we'll say different. Because by the witnesses, remember again, there's no real license to be Mechal Shabbos under those. Chazal asked you to do something for the benefit of maintaining the calendar. Aval hacha denitna Shabbos litchos hachinami. But I will say, by Mila, we have it, it's institutionalized Chol Shabbos, so to speak. In other words, Mila, I will say, by definition, sets aside Shabbos. So it's possible that even for tzitzin she'inan ma'akvin, the sofer, I keep saying the sofer, the mole should be able to go back. Rather than Ardoim say, who is it? It's Rabbanan Argan Rabbi Yossi. This not, here we go, most is incredible. Arba Kohanim Nichnasin. Most is talking about the Seder for the Lechem Aponim. Four Kohanim go into the Beis HaMikdash. Shnayim biyadam shnei sedarim, shnayim biyadam shnei bazichim. So we'll say ultimately four Kohanim go in. Two are holding the two stacks of bread. This is the new lechem upon him. This is on Shabbos. So two are holding the two stacks of bread, and two more are each holding a spoon of frankincense. Levona. There are four other kohanim who are already inside of the Beis HaMikdash. Shnayim litol shnei sedarim. Two kohanim there, one each to remove a stack of bread. Remember, they're removing the quote unquote old bread from the shulchan. Ushnayim litol shnei bazichin, and two to remove the two spoons of frankincense. So Moses says, this is the shift. So it's all happening on Shabbos. Remember, Shabbos they would replace the lechem upon him. So four kohanim bringing in the new, four kohanim taking out the old. Two kohanim, one each holding a stack of bread. Two kohanim each holding a spoon of frankincense. Watch this. Hamachnisim omdim b'tzafon upnei mundarim. Those coming in stand in the north with their face to the south. The ones who are taking out the old stand in the south with their faces to the north. And I will say everything happens almost like simultaneously. The Kohanim take out the right, the set of the called group A removes the old, while group B immediately places in the new. So the Gemara says, Tafchu shalzeh, b'tzah tafchu shalzeh. The hands of this one are right near the hands of others. We're both saying it is a immediate simultaneous process. As the old is being removed, the new is being put there. Why the need for the simultaneity? Mishum shenemar lefnei Hashem tamid. Because the pasuk says that the lechem must be on the shulchan tamid, constantly, consistently, without interruption. Rabbi Yossi Omer, afilu elu notlin ve'elu manichin af zeh haya tamid. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's not true. Even if we'll say tamid just means according to Rabbi Yossi, that halacha lemaisa, the shulchan can't remain overnight without lechem. But it doesn't have to have that level of simultaneity. Look at Rashi just a moment. It's about six, seven lines down in the Y lines of Rashi. Avzeh tamid. Umani mekayim tamid shlo yalin shulchan below lechem. Ulrabonim shalim b'shavki v'hadim esadju lo mikri lu tamid el eschal achrisi. V'nimtza shem esakiv shulchan below lechem. V'gabe pirish nami ki hadr asi mil sachrisi. Ha ilu rabi yosi damar ki shavki v'hadr maskili nami tamid t'chada mil suhu. Hachin nami pirish chozer afa pishein ma'akvin. To Kula Gemar Melzi. So we'll say, interestingly enough, Rabbi Yossi would be of the opinion that halacha lemaisa, even after the moel finished, he's still permitted to go ahead and go back, even for the tzitzin, She'inan ma'akvin. Why? Because it's all part of the same process. I will say, what Rabbi Yossi essentially says is that halacha l'maisa, something is still called part of the same process, even if there's a little bit of an interruption. I will say, we have to stop over here for today. Well, Mirza Hashem, pick up with this, and Mirza Hashem tomorrow. Shkoyach.